Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heist, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, starting with Dirk Ashton.
I'm Dirk Ashton, all-around knucklehead and author of the Paternus Trilogy.
Ooh, smexy.
And Michael R. Fletcher.
Wait, hi, I'm Michael R. Fletcher, author of Beyond Redemption. Sure.
And Rob J. Hayes.
I'm Rob J. Hayes, author of The Heresy Within.
And today we're going to be talking about how you can avoid getting scammed as an author, because there are a lot of things out there that can be either total wastes of money or actively bad for you to pursue. Before we get into that, though, I do have a couple of awesome listener questions. Our podcast received our very first meme on Twitter the other day, so that was pretty exciting. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but you can check it out on my Twitter feed if you want to look at that. What is the first comment? The comment is from Saeed, who says, "Currently on a binge of all your videos. Real gems of advice in all of these. Thanks a lot!" Exclamation mark. Thanks, Saeed.
Aww. That's very nice. Thanks.
You're welcome.
We've got some people really buffaloed, don't we?
We do. We've really fooled a large proportion of the writer population, which is ironic because we're talking about scams. another good one here is Sir Lance gave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I'm pretty sure he's legitimately a English nobility person, so this is pretty cool that we are reaching the highest echelons of society.
Nobility union meeting.
That's right, all you English people there. Who says, "Exceeds expectations. I speak for myself when I say this is a very strong podcast. Would recommend to anyone in any circle, as they manage to touch on subjects such as failure, success, the in-betweens, and staying productive." Great. Thanks, Sir Lance.
Wow. Nice.
We're very good on failure.
We have mastered it.
We are experts.
We are ready to move on from failure.
So if you want us to read your review out, leave us a review at Apple Podcasts and might get read on the show.
Preferably a good one, although we may read out the bad ones too.
Yeah, we probably won't read out the bad ones because I don't want to encourage that. But we might. You can also review us on Spotify now. If you're listening on the Spotify mobile app, you can rate podcasts on that, which is pretty cool. And then the last comment comes from Nisha, who says, "Hi, I just heard your Lessons Learned in 2021 episode. I'm a writer and I find value in your podcast. I've started putting myself in my character's shoes a lot more, and I love how their unique tones have pervaded the story. Also, my cats really like your voices. So when I need to give the older one his meds, I play your podcast. And he just lays on the speaker and purrs. Just letting you know that there are many unusual reasons why to listen to you all.
Oh, it's those silky Australian tones.
Yeah, it's because we don't. It's because, yeah, it must be.
I think it's because of Mike and his audio setup. Mike's got like the fanciest microphone you can imagine.
Hey, mama.
Can we have that as like our tagline now? Just like Sue's cats.
Yeah.
Sue's cats
since 2019.
Cats love us. Words.
Yeah. So thanks everyone for the comments. There's a bunch of others as well, but we will get into the episode. Talking about scams. So I think, Dirk, you kind of mentioned before the episode started that there's a couple of different categories of these, and that might be useful to kind of organize this before we go forward. So there's the you can explain them actually.
Oh, okay. Basically, we're going to talk about the kinds of communications that authors receive, usually emails, but sometimes Facebook Messenger or on Twitter messages. There are things that are, we're pretty sure, or sure are outright scams. Some of them are legit, but aren't really able to deliver, or deliver for the price. There's a wide variety of them, and some of them are absolutely legit, but you probably don't want to do early on. And some of them are completely legit, and you probably want to do. The hard part is figuring out which are which.
Yes. So just to give a bit of context here, because if you haven't had a novel published yet, you might not have come across this necessarily, but like, as soon as you probably get your first novel published, and if you have your email up somewhere public, or a contact form on your website, or even like, I don't know, a Twitter account or whatever, chances are you're probably going to get bombarded with predatory book marketing services reaching out to you and saying things like, hey, your book, insert the title here, and then the title is probably misspelt or whatever. I think it's amazing. I can get your book put into 5,000 hotel rooms and it will have a massive readership. All you have to do is send me thousands of dollars and hundreds of copies of your book and I will make it happen. Which sounds ridiculous, but Mike, you said that was a real thing that had happened to you?
Yep. I got an email from someone in the US suggesting that they could, they worked for some hotel chain. I don't remember which one. Doesn't matter. And that they could put copies of my insane books in hotel rooms alongside the Bible. Tempting as that was for sheer shock value, it did not make any economic sense whatsoever. And then there's the question of who the hell is going to wander from hotel to hotel putting these books out, and why at great expense to them? And it just made no sense, which is step one. If something sounds too good to be true and doesn't make any sense, it's probably too good to be true and it probably doesn't make any sense.
I would say the very first, you got already touched on it, Jed, the very first sign to steer clear is if they don't mention your name or the name of your book, or if it's written in very strangely, and if they don't give you any details about what it will cost or what they would pay or how it works, that's a pretty much a straight on delete. If something looks sort of like it might be interesting, I go to writer communities, people that I know, and say, hey, has anybody else seen this? And invariably, you know, one to a half a dozen of them got the same email on the same day, right? And if maybe even looked into it, that I find to be the most helpful, other than searching online to look at their websites and see if they're legit. But then there are truly legit ones. Rob, tell us about your recent one.
I can't actually. I didn't get the email. It went to my agent. So.
Ah, Okay.
I'm very sorry. Yes.
But some people
got emailed by a publisher in Brazil, which turns out to be a legit publisher. So one of my books is now being published in Brazil.
Heck yeah.
But
translated and published.
Yes, translated and published in
Brazil. Yeah.
However, the only contact I got was through my agent, so I can't actually say
But authors do get those direct sometimes.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I've had, and
some of them are legit. We know some authors who have gotten published in Poland based on just straight on sent, and it was a legit publisher who also publishes The Witcher there, you know?
Yeah,
so after some research, it was found that it was real. So.
But I mean, that falls into, or can fall into the category of, it may be legit, but may also not be worth it. Because usually if you're being contacted by somebody who's saying, look, I can translate your book, it's usually not going to be a publishing house that's then going to print it out themselves. They're saying, like, you give us this much money, we'll translate your book into whatever language, and then we'll publish it. And to be honest, I think that's one of the first or the biggest warning sign of any like email contact or anything like that. If they're asking for money, that's a warning straight off the bat.
Yeah.
Like the sites that do actually, you know, promote your book or whatever and do actually, you know, charge for it, they don't email people asking them to submit. They don't need to.
Yeah.
They've got enough people already submitting. Places like BookBub and the like,
yeah,
it's a legit site and it works, but they've got so many people legit, you know, emailing them asking, you know, to take part in it. They don't need to then start hunting down others. So if you're getting an email that's saying, like, give us money and we'll promote your book, 9 times out of 10, that's not something you ever want to do.
I was going to say
the really good. I mean, the ones that we use, the promotion services, like when we do sales, like Fussy Librarian and Book Barbarian, they don't go out sending things out usually. They're usually booked months in advance anyway. So let's list off the kinds that we've had. I mean, I've had people saying they can hit up this many people per day on Twitter for this amount of money. They can do this. They can set up ads for me on Facebook for this amount of money and run them for me. And some people do use services like that. There are some legit ones. I've had people saying they can, they'd like to put my book into different markets around. I just got one the other day, different markets. And they looked like they actually were legit when I did a little research, but they wanted ebook and I'm in Kindle Unlimited and I can't do that. It's you, when you're in Kindle Unlimited with an ebook on Amazon, you're exclusive to them. You can't put them out anywhere else.
In English. You're exclusive to them in English.
In English, yes, yes. But that's all they said. They just wanted the ebook. They didn't say anything about translations. Translations are considered by Amazon a different book. I found that out after going back and forth with Amazon. And first they're saying, nope, you can't do it. Yeah, but it's in another language. Oh, well, that's a different book. But I told you that the first time.
Amazon have a habit of not listening until you really drive that point home.
Yeah, it's just like bot responses. I've also gotten, especially early authors, there are companies that are not really small presses, companies that I'll just name it because it's a great big company. I've already trashed them a couple times online, like BookBaby, who basically are help services. They don't actually publish your book, but they help you publish your book, and they charge you money to do that, and you print them through them and stuff like that. And there are people that use them, but you just don't need to. You can do it yourselves, and I wouldn't recommend doing those. And then there are small, then you'll get, sometimes you'll get solicitations from small presses, and sometimes they are legit, but they never ask you to pay them money to do it. They usually either offer you to pay you something to pick it up, or they give you a pretty favorable percentage deal. And some of them are legit and worth it, and some of them are absolutely not. There's at least one person sitting here right now who was with one for a while and ended up having to try to get their rights back. because they just didn't push it. They did what they said they were going to do, but they didn't really advertise. They didn't really push it or anything like that. And you shouldn't have to pay for your own advertising. So there are, it's hard to navigate. But it's kind of the, I would say, do everything yourself at first and then figure out what you really don't want to do. And then talk to other authors. Find out what they do and what they use. Again, you know, having a community of authors who know each other, being part of one is just so incredibly helpful. And that's one thing that social media is good for, is building that community.
The one thing.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd add that indie presses kind of count as a whole different you know, sort of like subject, really. Then most indie presses aren't scams, but you know what,
they don't offer anything you can't do yourself.
Majority of them don't know. So while they're not scams, they're also not. Most of them aren't. Yeah. There are exceptions to the rule that, you know.
Yeah, there are good ones.
There are good ones. However, I find them to be few and far between, and most of them, all they will do is publish your book, drop it out in the ocean, and if it makes any money for them, great. If it doesn't, they don't care. They're publishing hundreds.
And the legit ones, if they do reach out to you, it's because they saw something good, they have something good, but they also have a track record. And they'll give you, the legit ones, if you ask, they will give you the names of their other authors. They will show you the stats of how their other books are doing. They will tell you what they spend and what they will do on promotion. And the ones that aren't really won't commit, won't tell you those things and maybe give you one reference of somebody who they have a good relationship, but you want to talk to a few of their authors, and see what, who've been there for a year or more and see what they think. If you're interested in that sort of thing.
I just want to reiterate that point about if someone is reaching out to you, telling you about how incredible their service is, it's probably on balance going to be a scam, because if their service really is that incredible that it's going to produce, you know, so many sales for you or whatever, they would be so highly in demand that they wouldn't need to be, you know, really, reaching out. And
anyone
soliciting.
Reaching out to you about anything ever is highly questionable.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. And you have,
it's already busy. If a publisher reaches out to me, I'm like, why aren't you busy publishing books you already have? Like,
it's the old "I don't want to belong to any club that would have me" thing, right?
No, it's like if they were good at it, if they were making money, people would be flocking to them and they'd be swamped.
Well, and then again, there are those odd circumstances. Like I remember Jonathan French is no longer in the group, but we were in a writer's group, and he posted, "Guys, I just got this email from blah blah this guy. And is this legit?" And we all did some research, or a couple people did some research, and he did some more research, and it turned out that it really was senior editor at Crown Publishing, and he really was the guy who picked up and edited The Martian, and he's just released his third book with them. So sometimes those things really do happen. And sometimes a TV producer will contact an author, and sometimes it really is legit. And it's really hard to tell with those, because every production that you see on TV that's awesome has like four different companies you've never heard of involved in the development and the production. And they may be really big. They might have done Umbrella Academy, but you've never seen the name of that company, right? All you know is it's Netflix or Prime. That one's, which one is that one? I can't remember.
Umbrella Academy is Netflix.
Is Netflix. All you know is it's Netflix, but Netflix puts up the money and distributes it. They don't really produce it. So there are like five or more companies involved. So you just gotta do your research and see.
So yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing we've pointed out here is if somebody's contacting you, that's a warning sign.
Just be if suspicious.
Asking for money, yeah, that's a warning sign. And no, the one of the yeah, biggest things you can do is if you're not already, join a community of authors, and if you get something like that, ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, and don't, but also don't immediately reply and say "fuck off."
Yeah, be polite. Or I would even go so far.
That's Mike's reply to me every time I contact him.
Well, you keep pretending to be other people.
Hi, this is Rob.
So, how about
I need to borrow some money?
the types of scams or things not worth, you know, sort of chasing, just to sort of put this in perspective, like what sort of stuff they're going to see. Like the one that's going around right now is a couple of different, let's put them in quotes, companies offering to print very flashy leather bound gold gilt, you know, gold leaf, like extremely expensive hardcover copies of books.
Special edition copies of your book, which sounds awesome.
Which sounds great. However, they're not sort of like targeting, you know, the cream of the crop or the upper tiers of the indie world. Everybody, every single indie person I know, from the person who's like still writing their book to the mm-hmm. people who have been around for a decade, everyone has been contacted.
Yep.
And it's when you ask for details, like, you know, royalties, advances, they go into ever more detail about how pretty your book is going to be.
And don't touch that. And they even one person, they even said, all you have to do is just send your manuscript to us right now.
Yeah.
We'll get it formatted and get it done.
Yeah.
No and contract. That makes it, yeah, no talk about a contract or royalty split or financially how this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So it immediately sounds like a scam. If it's not, then it's a person who has no idea what they're doing.
They're trying and they're badly misguided. But the books they're describing are so insanely expensive to produce.
Yeah.
You're not going to sell any.
No.
Like, you're just not. You're one, your mom is going to buy a copy and you're going to have yours. But that's it.
And they won't go into any detail about how this stuff's going to be financed.
No.
And if suddenly 50 people actually, if they're legit, 50 people sent their manuscripts and said, let's do this, how is that going to happen? Right? It's just, so you'll get those kinds of things, but yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I think there are also some legit companies out there sort of trying to do this. I'd question how valuable they actually are, because I mean, really, you can, Dirk, Rob, you guys have both done Kickstarters for special editions, right? This is still stuff. You haven't, Rob? I thought you did.
No, I'm planning to, because okay. You know, Dirk did it and made it a success. So
Ben Galley just did one and did real well. Wraithmark just did one and did real well. Andrew Cobble is gearing up to do one. So is David Estes, I found out, is gearing up to do one.
And Michael J. Sullivan's have done a few as well. So
well, yeah, they're like the king and queen of Kickstarter. Mike and Robin, but we'll just use that as a little teaser, because in a future episode we are going to talk just about Kickstarters.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the point that Mike was going for though is that you can do it yourself.
Yes.
Like all of these, like, you know, very fancy edition of your book. Yes, you can do it yourself. It's a lot of work, and there is cost involved.
Steep learning curve, but.
You can, you know, the all the companies and tools are there to do it yourself. So if you're getting a contact from a company or an individual who's saying, look, I can do this for you, blah, 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 whatever this, and, you know, there's a chance that it's going to be legit. But, you know, there's a bigger chance that it's not. And there's also a bigger chance that as Mike said, you're not going to make any money from it. Because if your book is going to take £50 or $50 to produce, and then there's, you know, margins on top of that for trying to earn money as well. Nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
You're not Brandon Sanderson. You can't sell a book for $100, unfortunately. Yeah.
And the people that do well with those already have very books that have sold extremely well and have a big fan base, and they already have a newsletter to go out and do that. There are some new authors who only need like $2,500 to help produce the book, but not to write the book. Don't do it. Never mind. That's about Kickstarters. We're not talking about
Kickstarters. We'll talk about that in a different episode, but probably we need to start wrapping this one up. One last
sounds very doom and gloom. Should we wrap on a high note?
Well, before we get to the high note, one last tip, which has been semi-useful for me, is like whenever a email has come through that is, like a scam, a predatory book service, whatever it is, I just like these days use Chrome's, Google emails like feature to just mark it as spam right away. And I've found that it tends to decrease the amount of emails that I'm getting from those similar companies over time. Because what it does.
And so Netflix and Prime have both actually had emails bounced from Jed's email.
So no one can email me anymore. But basically, it means I can't get scammed. Essentially, what it is it's just like in Gmail, there's a feature that just says report as spam. And then Gmail kind of learns from that and stops sending those messages through directly to you in the future. Mm-hmm. I don't have hard stats, but anecdotally, it has slightly decreased the amount of book-related spamming and scamming emails I'm getting. So if you do feel like you're bombarded with that, that can be a tactic that works as well. But then it just seems like the scammers send me life insurance emails instead. And I'm like, what are you trying to say? I'm 24. I think I'm okay. But
I've never gotten.
Are you dead? Are you?
Apparently not. Apparently I've been burning the candle too hard, and all these life insurance companies are like, get your free quote on your funeral.
I mean, I've seen a lot of these emails, but it's not like I get one once a week. I don't get them that often. Maybe 6 to 8 a year. Do you guys get more than that?
I get more than that.
Yeah.
I get more comments on my blogs. I get lots of comments on my blogs that are saying go to this website to buy Viagra.
Yeah. Well, they know you. They've been scrubbing your Facebook page.
All right, let's.
Your OnlyFans.
I've got to set one of those up. Get some naked dancing on.
That's it. Let's wrap up this episode before it goes too far off the rails. But,
so we're going to wrap up with the image in your mind of Rob naked dancing.
With my hat, it wouldn't be fully naked. It'd be like a Magic Mike type thing. I'd have my hat on.
It's very classy then.
So that's classy. Yeah. You're a classy guy, Rob, and I respect that. As we wrap up, just want to thank our patrons as well. Thanks to you awesome patrons, I've been able to upgrade my microphone setup. So I've got some new microphones that are heading in very soon. So the audio quality will hopefully improve for the podcast. So thank you for making that happen. If you want to support us on Patreon and help us improve the show, you can go to patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords. The link is in the description below, and that'll get you ad-free episodes, exclusive access when we do questions, and even lets you get early access to some of our books as well. So feel free to check that out if you want to help support the show a bit more. Thank you, everybody, for listening/watching, and we will see you next week. See ya.
Thank you.
Aww.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.